Hey, welcome back to another episode of This Is Hot Boga. If you haven't had a chance to go over to iTunes or Podbean, go ahead and give us a smash on that subscribe button and a friendly five-star review.
Go on Instagram and rub on that follow button if you want as well, because we'd appreciate that too. Before we get into our exciting guest today, we got to thank a few sponsors.
Go ahead. The next sponsor we would like to thank is Fish Hunt Fight Gear.
FHF.
FHF. They hooked us up with some sweet bino harnesses that are comfortable and really hold our S7 binoculars really great. Go over on their Facebook page and Instagram page and also their website. They have one of those, fhfgear.com.
Hey, Jared.
Hey, Jim.
Did you know that Northern Broadheads offers a single and a double bevel broadhead for both compound and traditional hunters? So if you ever decide to go back to the wheelie bows, as Adam would call them, you are going to be set. Did you know any of this?
Of course.
Well, excellent. I don't have anything else to tell you. Go check them out. Northern Broadheads. We love them.
Our RK1s from Newbury Archery really made it easier for me and James to be adaptable to the traditional world. These custom bows were made exactly for us and how we wanted them. I got mine dipped in ASAT, and it's absolutely beautiful. Check it out.
Because they do custom dipping and stuff too. Bowworks and Kyle and all those guys do a great job with that.
Newbreedarchery.com.
All right, Hex is a revolutionary company that blocks your natural electrical energy fields. Yes, that's right. So you get a better hunting experience. All living creatures emit this electrical signal. If your heart is beating or your muscles are moving, then you are producing these fields. The thing is, Hex will block these so animals can't sense you, and you can get real close, which we need because we're not great shots. This is real. Mike was a guest, and they even were featured on Shark Week. So if you're into that kind of thing, check them out, hexhunting.com. Jared, do you use a rangefinder when you're out hunting?
I do, yeah.
What if I told you that you could get a bow sight with the rangefinder built in? So you look at it, something far away, you push the button, it'll tell you the range and it'll adjust your sight for you. Would you be interested in that?
I'd tell you you're crazy.
Well, I'm not. Burris makes such a bow sight. So go to burrisoptics.com to learn more.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, let's get started.
Yeah, right on, man.
Cole Tanner, thanks for joining us. You want to give us a little bit of background about who you are, what you do?
Yeah. Like I said, my name's Cole Tanner. I'm the Director of Customer Relations at Ozonix. My job and gear kind of revolves around two distinct seasons, right? We've got the customer service season that really ramps up for us in July into August and then through the fall. And then the other half of my year revolves around a lot of the consumer shows that we go to all around the country. Yeah, like I said, kind of the jack of all trades, master of none. I, you know, obviously with us going direct, I kind of get involved in a lot of different stuff with our website and social media and marketing, a little bit of everything. So yeah, it's pretty exciting.
How long have you guys been customer direct? Because a few of now our partners and people that have been on the podcast have gone customer direct. And I know it's kind of a new thing to the industry. When did you guys decide to do it?
So yeah, we went 100% consumer direct. It would be January of 2018. So
okay,
we made it official, I guess you could say, December 15th, and then it went into effect January 1. But yeah, like you said, it's interesting. I remember, you know, it's been 7-8 years ago now, right? When Kuyu first really hit the scene, and then I remember getting emails and be like, yeah, we're only selling via our own website. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, you know? Crazy.
And it's interesting to see how far it's come now, right? And even, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, right as we were going consumer direct, First Light went 100% direct. And it's interesting to me even just to see a lot of the companies that are in retail that are selling via their own website as well, you know, and trying to balance that, you know? So yeah, it's been an interesting change. Yeah, it's been a fun ride. So yeah, it's crazy. We're already over a year into it now. So it's just crazy how the time flies.
Well, from the consumer standpoint, we appreciate it just because the prices have all come down.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think for us as a manufacturer, we all have a little bit different way of looking at it, right? I think that as a manufacturer, we have to go through the labor and the baby, but the consumer really doesn't want the labor. They just want the baby, right?
Yeah.
They don't really care about the effort. They just want the result. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, so like you said, by cutting out the middleman and cutting out retail, that does give us more wiggle room, you know what I mean? So, and like you said, it's been an adjustment, obviously, just trying to get the word out and let people know that they can, we're still out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's all still available. But yeah, it's been awesome.
How has that changed your marketing approach? I would imagine you have to market differently now that you have you know, your direct.
No, like you said, it's been an interesting change, you know what I mean? You know, I think obviously from a marketing perspective, and I think really what a lot of boils down to is who we're marketing to, right? I think sure. that, in my opinion, you know, the hunting industry, I guess you could say, quote unquote, has got this kind of sweet spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of people that we're trying to sell to, right? And it feels like that age is about, let's say, 20 to 45, or let's say 20 yeah. to 50, right?
Yep.
And so the reality is that, like me, I'm 34 years old, right? I just felt like I was 20, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm already halfway through this life cycle, right? And so, and I think about how far it's come since I was 20 years old, now being 34, and then now being 34, when I turn 50, and that 20-year-old is going to be 34, you know? So
right.
it's interesting to see how much just changed. And I feel like, you know, even when you look at mainstream, right? I think a decade ago, everybody thought that smart TVs was going to be the really next big thing. And I think that what everybody really didn't realize, it was going to be our phones, right? We just live through our phone. I flew back from Ohio today from the Michigan show. Excuse me, I'm thinking we're going to Ohio next weekend, but I'm driving back flying back, and I'm getting on the plane, and there's all these people and nobody's looking up. Like, everybody's just
right.
staring right down at their phones, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody, like, you don't hear people talking, like, you know, everybody's got headphones in, you know, and we all just kind of live within that. And so I think for us, obviously being direct and selling everything through a website, it's really put a big emphasis on our digital advertising and what
yeah.
we're doing within Google and different things like that. But I think the thing too, we've figured out too, is that there still needs to be a presence on television, right?
I
mean, I personally don't watch a ton outdoor television, but I mean, I have a lot of buddies that just, it's 7 o'clock on any night of the week and they're turning on the outdoor channel, right? You know, I think it's just kind of a balancing act. And I think it really, like you said, by not being in retail, it has shifted some things, but in a lot of ways, I think we've kept things a lot of the same as well.
Yeah, I would imagine that, you know, that definitely changes things, but, you know, people are still consuming their outdoor media mm-hmm. in the same types of formats. So, I mean, we've seen podcasts, obviously, on like this one.
Explode.
There are lots of them out there, and it's pretty new, you know, whereas before I wouldn't say that I've ever heard of a hunting radio station. So it's almost like a new
right.
outlet.
Yep, absolutely. Hunting. And I feel like the big thing, too, is I feel like we digest things so quickly, like
yeah.
even at the shows, like watching the guys that I work with. Just to see how fast, like if they're on Instagram, right? They just scroll so
oh, yeah.
fast.
Yep.
I mean, and it's just, and that's how quickly we're digesting information, right? And so it's been good. It's been interesting.
So where are you from right now? Are you, you're in Iowa with the rest of the Ozonic crew, or are you somewhere else?
Yeah. Yep. I'm in North Central Iowa. So our office is in Mason City, and I live in Clear Lake, which is just like 10 minutes straight west of Mason City there. But yep. So we have all of our customer service. Our accounting stuff is in Mason City. And then the owner and the VP live in Texas.
Okay.
Scott and Buddy are their names. They live in, Scott lives in Lake Jackson, which is just south of Houston. And Buddy lives in Conroe, which is just north of Houston. So,
yeah. Yeah,
so we're,
and you're in, you know, the whitetail Mecca, Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so funny. As I've just done different things, like I said, I was born and raised in Iowa, lived in Iowa my whole life. You just kind of get used to it, right? You don't
right.
really think that much of it. You know what I mean? And when you go and you meet people, everybody's just like, everybody's so enamored by that. But yeah, no, it's a fun place to live. Like I said, I'm driving around in my wife's car because I've got three little munchkins at home that would be screaming in my ear. And I'm looking at like 50 deer out in the middle of a field right now. You know what I mean?
So, that's rough.
That's one thing that's kind of fun. Yeah.
Is it cold by you right now, or it's finally warming up? For us, it's just finally sunlight out.
Yeah. Yeah. This is actually our first warm day in a couple weeks. Yeah. We had like North Central Iowa got record setting snowfalls. And in February, we got like 26 inches of snow in February.
Mm.
And so I think today I heard on the radio was like the first above freezing day in however long. I mean, it's just been,
yeah.
it's been pretty brutal. Like I said, our turkey season opens April 8th, just a couple of weeks from now, and we'll definitely be hunting in the snow.
Yeah.
So that'll be a bit of a change.
That will be it. We've done that a few times though.
Yeah,
I think,
it started definitely snowing on us.
More
of a wintry mix.
Yeah, it was a wintry mix. And then it just rained.
No, it actually
yeah.
turned around that day at noon.
Oh,
the sun
right.
came on. That's when we went out, and I missed that town.
How many times did you miss that?
I missed it twice. I'll get it.
How close was that town?
We won't leave. We'll leave that to
like
time.
At least 80 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, so Iowa, tell me about, for somebody that might be listening who maybe has never seen an Ozonix unit or has ever really heard about it, can you explain a little bit about what Ozonix is?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we build an ozone generating machine, right? So it's a lithium ion battery that powers the unit. We're pushing air through the unit with a fan, and we're pushing air over a coil on the inside of the unit, and it's turning oxygen and converting it into ozone.
Okay.
That's the kind of the technical side of it. But yeah, how we're using it, you're putting that unit above your head in a tree stand, or you're putting it inside a ground blind, and you're helping, as that ozone comes out, we're trying to exhaust it into your downwind side.
Yeah.
And we're trying to create a situation where that ozone comes in contact with your odor. Okay. When that happens, it oxidizes and it's eliminating your odor.
So the obvious next question is, how many ozonic units would we need to stop global warming?
Yeah. No, that's funny. Actually, when I first started using ozonics, that was literally exactly what I thought. I'm like, well, geez, if they can build ozone generators, like, why don't we just put one like
call it
an airplane and like,
that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that easy. But yeah, like I said, the interesting thing about that, the technical side of that, right?
Yeah.
Obviously there's ozone in the atmosphere, right? But a lot of people don't understand, like, so there's really two ways that ozone's created, right? So we create it via what would be called the corona discharge, right? Which is how we do it inside the unit. Or how that happens in the environment is when lightning strikes, okay? So
right.
That electricity from a lightning bolt is fracturing oxygen, recombined to create ozone. In the atmosphere, O2, oxygen, is floating up in the atmosphere, right? When it gets so high up in the atmosphere, the UV light becomes stronger, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 185 nanometers of UV light is when oxygen is fractured and recombines to create ozone. So, but the interesting thing that happens after that is this ozone is 30% heavier than the air, so it naturally wants to fall. Okay.
Right. Yep.
So the hard thing is if you're trying to put a plane up in the sky and pump ozone in the atmosphere, it's just naturally going to fall, and
right,
we aren't going to get it high enough. So it's not, but yeah, but it's interesting because I was like, well, heck, that seems pretty easy. You know
right.
What I mean?
There's a solution right there.
Yeah, like my hillbilly ingenuity says that should work.
But, and usually hillbilly ingenuity is right.
Yeah.
Is this similar to the type of thing, you know, when you're by a copy machine, it gives off some ozone, so I've been told. Is that like the same kind of idea, but just more concentrated or more amount?
I've heard people say like and talk about it like, oh, that's like if I'm standing by a printer, I smell like that kind of like an electronic smell. The best example I would have of the other example that we hear a lot from people, and really even for me, was after a rain, summer day, after a fresh rain, you go outside and you smell that real fresh smell. That is ozone actually being released from the earth, okay, after that fresh rain. So that's another example of what people kind of smell. Like, oh, yeah, that smells like a fresh rain. Like, well, I've smelled that before. You know what I mean?
We
hear that a lot as well.
Would that be part two of negative ions? Because I know that fresh rain also brings on that.
Absolutely, yeah. So
okay.
Same type of an idea.
Interesting. So this basically binds itself to your scent, and does it like drop it down because it's heavier than air? Is that how that works, or does it like change it so it's not recognizable for the deer or the elk?
Yeah. So the technical way of saying it is we are changing the molecular structure of your odor molecule. Okay, that's really what we're doing. But kind of, and again, I would say the redneck version of that is imagine your odor as a password, okay? And the password is the word human, okay?
Yep.
And when you go hunting, deer know the password. When they smell the word human, H-U-M-A-N, they run, right? The olfactory sensors in their nose tell their brain a message. No different than a drug dog, right? When it smells what it's cued to smell, the olfactory sensors tell their brain a message and it cues the handler, okay? So when ozone comes in contact with your odor, we're changing the molecular code. We're changing the password, okay? So we take off the H, and we take off the N. So it's not the word human anymore, right? It's the word UMA.
Right.
Well, when deer smell UMA, they don't perceive UMA as a threat because they're trying to smell H-U-M-A-N. So that's kind of the simpler way of explaining it. So again, we're changing that molecular structure. We're not covering it up. We're not masking it. Literally, when that ozone comes in contact with your odor, it oxidizes on it. It's changing that structure.
So then I kind of want to go off that. And this just might be a deep end that we're going to fall into, but I mean, what do the deer then perceive us as? Just blobs of something they don't recognize?
So the biggest thing that I would say, the proof in the pudding, what I experience when I'm out, I'll have deer that are downwind that are at 30 yards that I feel like think that I'm at 300 yards. Okay. I'll have big mature does that'll come in and will literally walk back and forth and they just can't figure it out. It's like they smell something, but they don't entirely know what it is. Do you follow me? It's telling their brain the right message. So that's really what guys will tell us. Like, yeah, man, like it's like they're curious about it. They can't figure it out. Right. And I think, I think what we see at closer range is what deer do when we can't see them, right? When they're 300 mm-hmm. yards away, when they're at 400 yards away, when they're standing there and they're winding us, mm-hmm. and then they turn them off the other direction. Now I have those that'll come into 25 yards and they're looking up at the wrong tree because they just don't know where I am, right? So like you said, the other analogy I always like to give is think about your odor like a beach ball, okay? Mm-hmm. So I have three kids. Right. My middle daughter, her name's Bo Daisy. She's trying to hold a wild cat. But if I blow up a beach ball, okay, and it's full air and I throw it at Bobo and I'm like, hey, Bo, what is this? She's going to be like, it's beach ball, right? She's going to bounce it off the ceiling.
Right.
Now, if I take a needle, okay, and the beach ball is your odor mm-hmm. and the needle is the ozone. The minute that that needle touches that beach ball, all the air inside the beach ball, the molecular code of that beach ball, it's all going to come unraveling out of that beach ball. All the air comes rushing out in an instant. Yeah. Okay. Now this beach ball is just this like shriveled up little thing. It's not a big beach ball anymore. Well, if I take that and I throw it to Bo and I'm like, Bo, what is this? She's going to look at me and be like, oh, I don't know. You know, because is it a beach ball? Yes. But technically the way she perceives a beach ball, it's not. If that makes any sense.
That mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense. So that actually then makes me wonder, so is ozonics something for you when you're sitting and trying to cover up scent that is already spraying? Or could you use ozonics to do something like, you know, spray your, you know, or put that, you know, scent curtain or whatever you want to call it.
A dry wash?
Ozonics over your clothes, you know, like a dry wash ahead of time.
Yeah, like I said, the big thing for us is we really like to talk about it like passive and active scent control, okay? So I think when I talk about passive scent control, that's something that we've all done for a really long time, right? We've done spray, suits, mm-hmm. cover scent, you know, whatever it might be, right? And the reality is that when we talk about passive scent control, the effectiveness of it degrades very quickly. You follow me?
Yeah.
So even with ozone in your clothing, can you use ozone to help eliminate deodorant? Absolutely, you 100% can. The reality is when you pull your clothing out of whatever you're using, right? The effectiveness degrades immediately. It starts to gather odor, and or we are continually breathing all the time. You follow me?
Right.
So can you use ozone from the minute you get out of the truck to the minute you get back? Absolutely. Can you use it on your clothing? 100%. For me, what ozone has really done for me on my clothing is instead of having to wash my clothes, if I was doing like, let's say, four hunts in a week, right? Mm-hmm. You know, before ozonics, I was washing my clothes every day, right?
Right.
And now that I use ozone, I wash them once and I dry wash them the rest of the time, right? I'm using our dry wash bag. I'm hanging my gear on the inside. I'm running it on a dry wash cycle. It's circulating the right amount of ozone for the right amount of time on your clothing, because you got to be very cognizant that ozone is a very, very powerful oxidant. It's literally 150 times more powerful than bleach.
Really?
Like we were just in Michigan and we were in Michigan last year. This guy walks up at the show, and now I think beers were like $4 for like 16-ounce beers, right? So this guy's having like a heck of a good time, right? And he's like 9 feet tall, so I'm not going to argue with him, right? But he walks up and he's like, listen, man, I'll never use ozonics again. I'm like, what do you mean? You know, like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, I have an HR300 and I went to Target or Walmart and got a tote and I put all my gear on the inside, my new Sitka bib, and I ran my ozonics on boost mode for an hour, right? Came back and I pulled out my bibs and I grabbed the suspenders and the suspenders came up out of the tote, but everything else stayed in the bottom.
Wow.
And literally, yeah. So like elastics, rubbers, ozone will do a number on that stuff. Yeah. You have to be very, very careful. And I think that's the one thing that we really run into is that you just have to make sure that you understand what ozone does and doesn't do, and you have to really work within that. And what we know is that it's very powerful. And so it's all about the right amount for the right amount of time. It's all about the time and concentration, because if you put too much on your clothing, it will rip it up. I mean, it will do a number on everything.
I've heard that before. Do you find that certain fabrics are a little bit more resilient to that, or are they all kind of categorized into the same pool?
So the biggest thing that you'll see is elastics and rubbers. That'll be the big thing, right?
Those
and so like when
biggest?
You're looking at your, yeah, like if you're looking at your overalls, right, or guys that have got like elastic straps or a lot of these new types of clothing, they might have like some like rubber types of seals and different things. Like it will eat that stuff away, or rubber on your boots. Well, I guess they'll try to put their rubber boots. You just have to be very, very cognizant. And that's what's really nice about, like you said, the HR230 and the HR300, it has a dry wash mode on the unit.
Right.
So it literally, what we're doing is it runs the coil. Think about it like a washing machine, right? When you wash your clothes, it puts water inside the washing machine. It stirs it up. And then when the water gets dirty, it flushes it, right? And then it puts fresh water in. We're doing the same thing with the dry wash mode. We're turning the coil on. We're pushing air and we're exhausting air through the dry wash bag. Then we turn the coil off and we flush it with fresh air, because we don't want to put too much on there for too long, right? And then we turn the coil back on, pump ozone in there, and then flush it with fresh air. So you just have to be very aware of that.
So it's something that you'd obviously take when you're sitting out. I would imagine you can carry it out to your stand, you know, point it upwind, I believe, or downwind, and you can like cover up your scent on the walk in too, right?
Yeah. So I guess with that, the big thing I always tell people is, and I go back to an example that I had a few summers ago. I was at an event and there was all these guys in the room that use Ozonix, right? And I asked them, like, hey, listen, everybody raise your hands that use Ozonix. And they all raise their hand. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, keep your hands up. Who's using them in a tree stand? Keep your hands up. They all keep their hands up. Like, who's using them in a ground blind? Keep your hands up. They all keep their hands up.
Right.
Who's using them on the way in and out from the tree stand to the ground blind? Almost everybody put their hands down. And that's the interesting thing that we talk to guys a lot about is you can use ozone door to door, right? You can use it from the minute you leave the truck to the minute you get back. The reality is that the way we walk in and out to that tree stand ground blind can be just as impactful as where we hunt, right?
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
If you can lessen that impact and help eliminate that odor the entire time, that's really what we're trying to do. And that's the thing, I think, when you start using Ozonix, you have to start to think a little bit more outside the box, because it doesn't exactly completely fall into the normal scent regimen that you've done in the past. So like I said, we have a kinetic backpack, right? That the unit fits on the top of it. A lot of guys see that and they're like, well, I'm not a big game hunter. And I'm like, dude, that's totally fine. Like, but you set cameras and check cameras all summer and you walk in and out, right? It's not like you got a zip line that takes you into your stand. You know, I always kind of tell people, imagine like even my favorite hunting spot, it's like a clear glass of water at the beginning of the season, right?
Yeah.
And it is clear as a bell. But every time I go out there, I drop just a little drop of food coloring in the glass, whether a little or a lot, right? But by the end of the season, whether I like it or not, that clear glass of water looks like Kool-Aid. And so if we can lessen our impact and use the power of ozone to help eliminate your odor, why wouldn't you be doing that? And so, like you said, whether it's with a kinetic backpack or honestly, dude, before I ever had the pack, I used to just carry mine. Literally, I just walked with it. I mean, you know, yeah, and that's really the whole idea behind that.
This seems like it's something that mostly whitetail hunters use, but it seems like it'd be something so Jared and I go out west or we're going for pronghorn or whatever. I mean, you could really use it hiking in the mountains for elk or the sitting in a blind for pronghorn, right?
Yeah, that's actually how I got introduced to Ozonix. I used to be a hunting guide in Southern Colorado and I worked for an outfitter out there. And the owner of Ozonix, a guy named Scott Elrod, he came on an elk hunt, right? I always kind of joked, I only had two rules when I guided. And it was always just kind of a funny joke, but it would make guys laugh, right? The rules were don't guide the guide and don't walk like an elephant, right? You know, you came on a guided hunt, so, you know, let me guide you, right? And don't step on every stick as we walk around, you know? As we're talking about what we're going to be doing for the week, he was there on an archery elk hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And right away, Scott's like, listen, man, I don't really want to do it that way. And I'm like, Scott, you're already breaking rule number one. You know what I mean? But the whole idea was he's like, man, I really want to just go right at these elk. And I'm like, man, we just can't do that. Like, it's a big cat and mouse game that we're trying to outmove these elk when they're trying to circle us down, when we're trying to get ourselves in a position that so we can get a broadside shot.
Right.
And he just wanted to go. He wanted to go right at them. And literally for the next 5 days of his elk hunt, he flipped my world upside down. And for me, like you said, guiding for elk, black bear, mule deer, whatever it might be, the reality is in Ozonix, especially out west, it became a really pivotal tool to help me get more clients opportunity, right?
And
that's the thing, like I said, a lot of guys really are starting to understand it in the whitetail woods, right? And now, like I said, I have a good buddy that guides in the Gila, New Mexico, right? And they swear by Ozonix, right? They see the power of what it does. So can it be used for, you know, for elk or black bear or mule deer or just about anything? Absolutely. Like I was in Pennsylvania earlier this year at the Great American Outdoor Show. My buddy and I are red fox hunting, right? Predator hunting with it, you know? Mm-hmm. So all these animals are doing the same thing. They hear that call and they try to circle downwind, right? Their eyes might fool them, but their nose doesn't lie. Mm-hmm. And that's where this, that's where Ozonics can just come in so handy.
My one concern, I guess, every time I go out into the woods with electronics is how long is this going to stay on? Like, what is the battery life on this? So then, Mike, my question to you would be like, if I'm walking around with an Ozonics on, you know, most of the day, what's, you know, I guess I'll rephrase that. What's the full battery life of an Ozonics?
Yeah. So both units, the HR230 and the HR380, come with a standard battery. That's a 4-hour battery. And then we do sell XL batteries. Those are an 8-hour battery. So in the whitetail woods, most hunters are carrying around a 4-hour standard battery and an 8-hour XL. So between the two, you're getting 12 hours of runtime. That's what most people are doing. Okay. If you're going to be trying to take it out west, the biggest thing I tell people is especially in an elk hunting situation where, you know, charging stuff can be a lot, you know, just be a lot harder. I always tell people it's about quality rather than quantity. So I wouldn't turn it on right when I walk out of the tent right away in the morning.
Right.
And I wouldn't even turn it on as I'm walking up the ridge. But all of a sudden when, okay, we've got a bull and he's coming, boom, I'm going to turn my Ozonics on, right?
Yeah.
It would be great if you could leave it on the whole time. But, you know, for me,
it's just not practical, you know?
Yeah, it gets a little bit tougher. I mean, so like you said, a lot of guys will run with a standard and two XLs, and then you're looking at about 20 hours of runtime. Well, if you're on a 5 to 7 day elk hunt and you just kind of watch your time knowing about what you can do for runtime. But like I said, in the whitetail woods, most guys are running with a standard XL for an all day sit.
Well, that just seems like, I mean, you know, Ozonics is essential for hunting, you know, when you're around, it seems like. But I mean, for guys like me and Jared who will go and get maybe 5 to 7 days to hunt elk, I mean, why wouldn't you spend the extra little bit of money to make sure that you've got, you know, you can even be more successful? And so that's why, I mean, Ozonics is a pretty cool thing. Yeah, I mean, it just because it tips more things in your favor.
Well, I think it's interesting for us because we go to all these different consumer shows, right? And even on the phone with customers in the fall, we'll have guys that walk up, men and women that walk up at the show, and they're like, you know, problem is, you know, I just hunt on the weekends. You know, like I don't hunt like that much. And it's funny because actually, in my opinion, that is the person that needs it even more, right? Yeah, because like, I mean, they're a lot like me, right? I'm married, 3 kids and 1 on the way, you know what I mean? And a full-time job. I mean, it's 6 o'clock and I'm not at home right now. You know what I mean? So, you know, so it's like, it's about that quality time. I don't have a ton of it, right? So when I'm going to go, I'm going to go. If the wind's wrong on a Saturday, like I'm hunting anyway. You know what I mean?
Right. You know? You don't want to wait around and you don't have time to do it.
Yeah. 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 Like I have buddies that like will call me like, oh man, I just can't go today. And I'm like, why not, dude? You got the day off. He's like, man, I don't have the right wind, man. Like I can't hunt there. I can't do that. And then everybody's like, dude, I can only hunt on Saturday, so I'm going. And that's me. That's the way I am.
Right.
So I think for those types of people that aren't, you know, professional hunters hunting all the time, that got just, you know, normal stuff going on, you know, you want to make the most out of what you've got, you know, and that's where, like you said, where Ozonics can just come in so handy, right? Because the reality is, guys, is that, and we talk to people about this all the time. If I ask the question to somebody, if they were going to go out and sit in their stand and rattle or grunt, and the buck that they're after was going to come in and circle downwind, what's going to happen? And almost every single person is going to look at me like,
you're done.
Well, that deer's going to win me. Well, that's like that's worst case scenario right there. And I'm like, exactly. So what you just told me is that right now without Ozonics, when you get animals downwind, they wind you, right? And for me, what I've experienced is not every single time, and we never try to say that it's 100% because it's not. I mean, literally, there are still times when I get out there and get winded when a deer just pegs me. You know what I mean?
Right.
But 7 out of 10 times, 8 out of 10 times, seriously, 80% of the time, I get away with it. When deer get downwind, they don't know I'm there. And if I can increase my odds by that much for the guy that's only hunting 2 or 3 days in October and 2 or 3 days in November, because that's all he can pull off.
Right.
Like he just increases odds by a ton, you know? So,
you don't play the wind at all. You don't play the wind at all.
No. I absolutely play the wind. I absolutely play the wind, but I will be the first to tell you that I think that it's a different way of doing things for me. Right. So what I would say is that there's times of year that I hunt the wind, and there's times of year that I hunt the deer. And that sounds kind of funny to say, but like, even yeah. for me right now, like I'll be out in a couple weeks here resetting stands, and I will set stands based on the wind.
Yeah.
And we all know where we set those stands, but I will also set stands for the deer, because when I go out in 2 weeks and all 2 to 3 weeks and all this snow's melted, I will see what happened in November. I will see all the rubs and scrapes. I'll see all the trails, and I'll know, and just having hunted there, I'll know where the deer are going to walk in and out. Right.
Right.
And so what I'm saying is that, do I still hunt the wind? Absolutely. But when the time's right, I will stop hunting the wind and I'll start hunting the deer. You follow me?
Right. Yeah.
And I think there's a guy named John Mulligan, you know, huge ambassador for us and does a great job in using Ozonics. He is a retired police officer, and he talks a lot about that when they would go into a building or a house, they call it slicing the pie, right? So when they breach a door, you slice the pie as you go into the next room. And so he would always talk about, and I think it's a great analogy, of your scent cone is like a piece of pie, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I find myself doing when the time's right and I know that I've got that deer that I think he's going to come by, what I'll do is, instead of, I don't want to put my scent cone right in the middle of my shooting lane or that downwind direction, right? But I might put my scent cone right on the edge of the piece of pie. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Where if I can give myself 10 feet or 10 yards or 10 seconds of where he's walking into my downwind side and just can't figure it out, sometimes that's all that I need. And that's where, for me, if I know my experience has taught me that I can get away with it 8 out of 10 times, then I'm going to play those odds.
Yeah.
And sometimes with big deer, you have to give a little, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do. Like I said, I still absolutely 100% play the wind, but other times I'll gamble, right? I don't gamble on October 1st, but I'll gamble on November 14th. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When Thanksgiving's a week and a half away, and this is one of my last days, I'll roll the dice, you know, and that's what Ozonics has done for me. And what we hear so many people telling us the same thing, you know? So,
Yeah. That's amazing. It would be nice to have, it's just nice to have, again, something stacked in your favor. So you can be, you know, more aggressive if you need to, or, you know, like you said, if you don't have a lot of days in the woods.
Or if you stink like me.
Well, I was going to say, and this actually, that's a great segue, Jared. Are there certain people of such magnitude that they need more than one ozonic unit to cover up their funk, or will one cover pretty much anybody's, Jared, I'm looking at you, anybody's stink?
Yeah. So we always tell people, right, one ozonics is meant to treat one person, right? You are the source of that odor. One ozonics is meant to treat one person, right? I think what we also hear a lot, though, is when a bow hunter's been out there and he's had deer come downwind and the light bulb goes on, right? And then once the light bulb goes on, the gears start to turn, right?
Yeah.
And what we hear a lot of people tell us is, well, man, like, I see what I can do with one of these things, man. Like, what could I do with two?
That's what I'm thinking. That was where I'm going next.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have buddies that carry three. I mean, seriously, they carry three HR300s. You know,
that's a
I
lot
mean,
of ozone.
If you talk to Buddy, the VP at Ozonics, right? The original HR100, we call it the Titanic now because it was this big rectangular metal box, literally. And like I said, I know he carried two of them, and they were literally like 8 pounds, right? But that's what you hear a lot of guys say is, well, man, like, I see what I can do with one. What can I do with two, right?
Right.
I personally hunt with one. That's me, just because I'm already carrying, I feel like I'm carrying a condo out there already with all the stuff in my backpack, right?
Yeah.
So I just hunt with one, but you hear guys that are, you know, men and women that are hunting with more than one.
So if you're, you know, you're spending hours being, you know, doused in this stuff, is this going to negatively impact a person's health? Is there any health side effects that come with ozone?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Other than you glow
superpowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the big thing that we always tell people is if you're using ozonics in the right way, you need to be exhausting that ozone in the downwind direction. If you're using it the right way, you shouldn't be breathing it in. You follow me?
Yep.
I can't tell you how many times I've taken my buddies that have never used ozonics before that I'll take them out with me. And literally, it's funny. It's like they all talk because they all say the same thing. They literally look right at me and they're like, all right, turn it on, stupid, you know, because they don't smell it, right? And
right.
I'm like, well, I don't smell it. Like, must not be, you can turn it on. Like,
yeah, right.
Well, yeah, man, I turned it on. But like, we're not trying to treat us. We're trying to treat our downwind side. We're trying to treat the odor that's going towards the deer. So with that said, our units fall well below all EPA standards, OSHA, NIOSH standards of the amount of ozone that you're supposed to inhale when you use it in the right way. You follow me?
Yep.
So exhaust that ozone downward direction, there's not going to be a problem. You don't want to put yourself in a ground blind, close all the windows, and hotbox yourself in there with it for, you know, 2 hours. You know what I mean? You know, and the reality is that I think the thing that we are continually trying to educate on is the fact that there is perception and reality, right? And I think sometimes the way that we perceive things isn't really always how it really is.
Right.
And I think sometimes I'm just as guilty, man. Like, I'm like, instructions? Nope. You know, I just throw them away. You know, so yeah, I don't need that. You know, a lot of guys, you know, they might not look at their instruction manual or whatever, and they're just like, oh, well, I just stick a thing here, put it on boost mode, good to go, you know? And you really need to set it up the right way. So if you're using the right way, there's no health problem. You'll be fine.
Okay. And so you're facing it. You're facing it downwind. I would imagine probably a little bit above your head.
Yep. So when you talk about setup, that's the other really big thing for us. I always kind of say it's almost like a compound bow, right? If you were to go to an archery shop and buy a compound bow, there's really two things. One, you have to buy it, and then you got to get it set up, right? You don't just go buy a bow and then just take it straight out in the woods, right? You got to have somebody set it up for you the right way. So with Ozonix, we're trying to do the same thing. You need to just make sure that you set it up correctly to get the most out of it that you can. So what we're trying to do is number one, we always want the unit 6 to 12 inches above our head. And the reason for that is that ozone is 30% heavier than the air. So it's naturally going to fall. We always want to exhaust that ozone in the downwind direction. So let's say I'm sitting in a tree and the wind's in my face. What a lot of people do is they end up just putting it above their head and facing it out in front of them, right? But the downwind side, if the wind's in your face, is behind you, right? So what you would want to do is mount that unit so you're always exhausting the ozone in the downwind direction. We're not trying to treat you. We're trying to treat the odor coming off of you. And then number three, the angle. We want it about a 30-degree angle down. If it's above a 15-mile-an-hour wind, we want to take it vertically straight down. In essence, on a windier day, we're trying to pour that ozone into your downwind side faster. So like I said, height, direction, angle. And then in a ground blind, the big thing is we're not trying to treat the air in the blind. We're trying to treat the air leaving the blind, right?
Yep.
And how we do that is we want to create a draft within the blind. You want to let the air in and out of the blind. And by creating that draft, you're bottlenecking where that scent goes out. And then obviously you set that ozonics up above, inside the ground blind, above that window where that air is going out, and we're trying to create that interaction between your odor and the ozone. So sorry, that's a long-winded answer, but
that's helpful.
And like I said, guys, seriously, the thing is, when we get people that call and they're like, man, I'm not having good luck with this thing. Even like this last week in Michigan, we were doing seminars at the show, and I had a couple guys, man, I think it works, but I don't feel like I'm getting what I'm reading, right? Like, have buddies that use it and swear by it, but I'm just not having that type of result. First thing we talk about is setup. And like you said, the big things that we hear people is they're not exhausting the ozone in the downwind direction, and they're not running it at a 30-degree or more angle. They're just setting it up level. So really, really focus on that height, direction, angle in a tree stand.
What show are you at here in Michigan?
Yeah, we were at the, so they changed the name of it. It used to be the Michigan Deer and Turkey Expo, but now it's the Outdoor Life Michigan Deer and Turkey Show.
That was, so, where was it?
It was in Lansing.
Oh, okay. Gone to that.
Shoot.
Yeah. Could have seen that one.
Dude, and you know what's funny is I think that's what a lot of people, we were there last year and they had a really good crowd last year. It wasn't quite as busy this year. And I think the reason for that is it sounds like Michigan has got, like, you guys have that like Buckarama show, and there's like three or four throughout the season, right?
What's that one that
we've got the Hunt Expo?
Hunt and Time Expo.
Hunt and Time Expo. We've got
coming up next week. We got a lot of expos.
There's one in like Ionia.
Outdoorsman.
Right?
Yeah. I think there's one in Ionia.
Yeah. There's a bunch that we have real quick in a row.
There's like a Kalamazoo tradition.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have out there. There's a lot kind of handy.
So I think the hardest thing about that, from a vendor perspective, is I feel like when there's that many shows,
which one do you pick?
Like you said, like, oh man, I should have gone to that. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know. And so like we go to Ohio this weekend, and that's really like one of the only shows in Ohio. So it'll be packed. Wisconsin, same way. That's like the show in Wisconsin, or the Iowa Deer Classic, right? It's like the show for Iowa. So that it just, everybody goes, you know. So I think Michigan kind of runs into where there's a lot of shows, and part of it is there's just so many hunters, right?
That's a great problem
that they're, you know, like that's, you know, but it's just, yeah, it just kind of makes it tough on trying to get people to show up, you know. So
do you sleep much this time of year, or are you just show to show on living on the road?
Yeah, you know, it's Yeah, it's kind of show to show. Like I said, you know, the guys at work are really, really awesome. And with working with me, like I said, I married three kids and my wife is, you know, 7 months pregnant, right? She's
wow.
due mid-May. Yeah. So she's honestly, she's like a saint. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? So, but yeah, like I said, I have a couple guys that are kind of the boots on the ground. Like they're, and bless their heart, they do a lot of the legwork. You know what I mean? It's a guy named Zach and a guy named Bergie. And they drive from show to show and set up.
Wow,
and
then yep.
I'm pretty fortunate to, I fly in and out. So I flew back from Michigan today and then I'll fly to Columbus on Thursday and then fly home on Monday. So I just kind of, it works good for me because then I can be in office a lot more. Yep. And then I can be home just even for a couple days. Like I walked in the door today, my two little ones, Bo Daisy and Jet Kodiak, Bo's like, we're having a tea party and then we're having a dance party. And then we're wrestling. And I'm like, okay, you know, so she's like, she has like all these activities planned out, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
So we try to squeeze a lot of stuff in when I'm home. So, but yeah, but I love it. Like I do. I love the shows. It's awesome to get to go and meet people from, you know, just different walks of life and talk about hunting. And yeah, like I said, we've done a bunch of them this year. We were in Dallas Safari Club. Then we did Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Then we did NWTF. Then we did Iowa. I mean, Michigan, and we're doing Ohio, and then Wisconsin, and then Saskatchewan. So we've got, and then a bunch, we'll do like three or four of them this summer in Texas, the Texas Trophy Hunter Extravaganza. So, yeah.
Well, you got to get it done now so you can do hopefully a little hunting in the fall, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. I'm getting pretty geared up to start doing some turkey hunting, right?
Oh, like that, boy.
Our turkey season opens April 8th, and actually one of the guys I work with, Bergie, he's going to Florida to try to shoot an Osceola after we go to Ohio. So he's pretty excited. He's going to try to shoot the slam this year. So that's going to be pretty neat.
That would be awesome. I've always kind of wanted to do that. We're going to be, we're getting ready for turkey camp meet here, me and Jared. So we always have a good time turkey on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If Joe was here, yeah, we would actually spend the next 45 minutes listening
I'd
to him.
I'd say talk a good hour.
Once
minimum.
You say the word turkey, he's gone.
we kind of joke. So it's Bergie, Zach, and I, and we all like just love the turkey hunt. So we're just kind of jokingly calling it the Turkey Tornado Tour
of
2019. So we're pretty excited. So we're going to see how many we can lay down.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. What are we, like 3-4 weeks out?
Yeah, probably getting close to that.
It's time. So yeah, I need to hear a good Ozonics story. Did you have any this past fall, just a great story of how Ozonics snuffed out your scent?
Yeah. You know, a personal story or a story that I've heard from like a customer?
I want a personal
story. My personal story, really, the personal story from, I guess I would say last year. And it's funny, let's do that in two parts. My personal story from this year is something that we have told a lot of people to do. And I've done it too, but I felt like I tried to do it a few more times this year just to like, it's funny because I, even knowing how well Ozonics works, I still like keep trying to like prove it to myself. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So one thing that we tell a lot of people is guys that start using it, you know, men and women start using it. It's like, hey, if you don't think it's working, and this was told to me about thermocells. I did a black bear hunt in Ontario years ago, and a buddy of mine's like, oh, you got to take this thermocell. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, man. And he's like, dude, they work. And I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know about that. And he's like, listen, you don't think it works when you're there, shut it off. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm out there sitting in the stand and I'm like, I don't think this thermocell's working.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you know,
and I'm
like,
noise, that's all you figure. And it doesn't seem like it's doing anything.
Yeah. Like this, the bugs just aren't bad today. You know what I mean? And so I shut it off. And like within 5 minutes, I'm like getting like dive bombed by these like hummingbird sized mosquitoes, you know? And so we talked to a lot of people about that with Ozonics. Like, hey, man, if you get a deer downwind, you don't think it works, shut it off. Like, and watch what happens, right?
Yep.
And so that was kind of one of the funny things that I did a few times this year, just on like, on does, you know what I mean? Like when I had a big mature doe or whatever it was just in front of me, I was like, you know what? Let's just kick this thing off and see what happens. And just watching them just completely like flip inside out. That's always really fun for me. So that was one of the things that I did probably like 3 or 4 times this year, literally like directly downwind, just standing there, have no idea. Reach up, shut it off,
and
then watch them like just go whoop, like within, like honestly, within like 15 seconds, literally be like boom, and just be like right on top of you. So that's kind of cool. But the story that I have from last year, I hunt a lot of public land in Iowa where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, just because I kind of enjoy it, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's pretty neat, like, you know, the story behind public land and how that all comes about, and just the fact that you know, I just think it's neat. So I enjoy hunting public land. And I had a really, really nice buck that was dogging a doe. And I watched him come from like, seriously, like 400 yards away, just marching through this bean field, bumping this doe along. And they came into this little grove of trees that I was in. And, you know, I know my ranges. I'm like, okay, if you can get to there, that's like 28 yards. And they're standing at like 40. And I'm like, okay, which way are they going to go? And it just so happened that literally the way he bumped her, she came in and literally came to 15 yards directly downwind. I mean, and literally just walked in and then stopped and just kind of like mingling around. And he's standing at like 30 yards behind her, not downwind, but just looking at her and completely cueing off of what she was doing. Right. And I think the thing that's neat is like, and I've heard the owner of Ozonic, Scott Elrod, talk a lot about how it's all about a deer's behavior, right? Like that buck was keying on what that doe was doing, and his mannerisms and his movement was based on what she was going to do. And as she's standing there 15 yards out directly downwind, if she moves in any way in a dangerous or something's wrong, alert. Like he's out, like, yep, Audi 5000, like, see you later. Right. And literally she stands there 15 yards downwind for, I mean, it probably was 3 minutes. It felt like an hour.
Of course,
he walked in from 40 to 30, got to 28, got right to my lane, and I smoked him. Right. And so, yeah, that was something that it's funny for me because, like I said earlier, it just never ceases to amaze me, right? Yeah. What happens when I get deer downwind, and with it, the majority of the time, they're just walking right through and not. I mean, honestly, I get to the point now that if I get winded, I call my buddies and I'm like, dude, you're not going to believe what happened to me today. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I got blown winning. At, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Where you got to send us that picture. I want to see the buck.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, for sure.
So you guys have obviously some pretty, pretty cool product, pretty like innovative, and kind of revolutionary. I know there are other companies that are putting out some ozone stuff now after you guys did. You guys have anything else kind of cool in the works? Anything new coming
that you're allowed to tell
us? You're allowed to tell
or not allowed to tell us?
We'll just beep it out if we
need. Yeah. No, I mean, the big thing is obviously as a manufacturer, we're always testing and running and doing new things, right? I honestly don't know of anything right now. Like you said, we're rocking with that HR230 and that HR300, you know, just because we've, like said, been having phenomenal luck with it. Yep. Obviously, when I go out hunting with buddies, they're always like, so what do you have in your backpack? You know, and that's the nice thing for me is I kind of get to, I'm the guy that gets to break everything. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you said, we're sticking with what we've got for now, like I said. And nothing really in the works right now.
Well, the stuff that you have works really well. We appreciate you coming on. I know we're coming up on time here, but thank you so much. And for coming on to talk about Ozonics.
Yeah. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, guys. No, like I said, I appreciate it. And I like looking at your guys' Instagram page and that Hot Boga. That's an awesome name.
Yeah, we like it. It's unique. I think we've found out from people. So like I've said before, there's no one else that had that name when we were trying to pick a name.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of getting to be the hard part, right?
I know.
Like, you know, it's crazy. Like, and that's. And I think the thing that, like, and I don't mean to kind of stand on my soapbox here, and I don't want to take too much more of your guys' time, but I think the one thing, you know, there was something that happened, and you guys are probably, being Michigan guys, you guys would definitely probably already have known about this, but Todd Prignitz, right? Mm-hmm. Todd Prignitz of White Knuckle Productions passed away, right?
Yeah.
And just a really unfortunate accident, right? And when we were at the Iowa Deer Classic last weekend, they had a benefit for his wife, their family, and Jason Science is one of the guys at White Knuckle Productions, and he had asked us, and we're like, absolutely, you know, like, whatever you guys need, and it was neat, because he's like, oh, you guys, you know, we were really excited to be able to just go to the benefit, and one of the things that I heard somebody say as we were standing there, and everybody was sitting, if you want to go watch 150, like, rednecks all cry at the same time, that was the place to be. Yeah, because it was kind of an emotional deal. But one of the things that one of the guys said as we stood there was, he's like, yeah, you know, it's kind of nice to see everybody put their guns away, you know, in the fact of, like, I think sometimes with all this hunting stuff right now, like, you know, I think that it gets very competitive, right? And even from, like, whether it's from a manufacturing perspective or from, like, Instagram page perspective to hunting group perspective to television show perspective, it gets very competitive. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think sometimes we forget that we're all on the same team, you know? And like, I think that's one thing I feel like this year, and even just hearing that last week, I was like, wow, you know, I think it's exciting for hunting and just to see how many people, like, even I have a good buddy, his name's Garrett, that he started his own little, like, I don't even know what it is, like a little YouTube channel. And it's just like, he has like 7 followers, you know, but
right.
him and his buddies enjoy it, you know, and,
right.
you know, and it's neat. It's like, it's cool to, I think that that's what, when I got hunting when I was a kid, it was about the camaraderie. It was about
exactly. Just
loving to be out there and like sharing that in that adventure with my buddies, you know? And I think that when I see all these hunting groups, I feel like it's encouraging, you know, like I don't agree with everything and the way people do things all the time. And that's sure. Okay. Like we can all have our own opinions, but I think more than anything, we all are trying to push the same ball up the hill and more than anything need to stick together, you know? Even for us at Ozonics, we're trying to do that, right? With like what we do on social media and just really cross promoting and just really funny. Like I had a young kid, he was like 13. He shot this deer and he's like, hey, DM me, would you guys mind posting this? I'm like, absolutely. He's like, well, I didn't use an Ozonics. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm like, it'll make no difference. I'm like, dude, that's awesome, man. Like, I'm excited for you, dude. Like, yeah, like shoot me all your info. Like we'll tag your page. Like, that's awesome. You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like I kind of hope things kind of keep trending that way. You know what I mean? Because, you know, because like I said, we do a lot more together than we do divided, you know? So I don't want to, I mean, that sounds kind of cheesy, but yeah, like you said, there's always an opposite force pushing against us, right?
Yeah,
like the anti-hunting groups and organizations aren't getting any less powerful, you know? So.
Yeah, no. And we see, you know, it's good to hear that just because that's one of the things that we love about what we're doing this. We get a chance to, you know, growing up, sitting around the fire or sitting inside after a hunt, hearing people tell stories or share like a, you know, how that one way that they figured out to beat the buck's nose or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Love to do that growing up. And the cool thing about social media and podcasts and everything else is you get to direct access to a whole slew of people that you might not have ever talked to before. So a person maybe that doesn't have, you know, the hunting background in this family still can get all the information, all the stories, feel like he's part of a bigger community. Even if it's through our podcast, somebody else's podcast, whatever, it's still the same larger community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, that's exactly hitting the nail on the head for sure.
Well, and we like it because we get to talk to you guys like you, get to learn things that I wouldn't have learned before and get to ask you anything that pops into my head. I think I'd ask everything that I had.
I think so. You'll probably think of one or two questions.
Yeah, we'll be messaging you if I think of something else, you know. So, all right. Well, thank you so much, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, man. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yep. See you, Cole.